Welcome to Church of the Living Word, featuring Senior Pastor Audie Claremont.
Everybody have an outline this morning? Who does not have an outline? I want to make sure you get one. You got a pen or a pencil, you're going to need one. I know. Now, don't get afraid because the outline looks big, because it's mostly scriptures. But I don't know why, I just keep putting a lot of scriptures. But you know what? Take them home and read them. Look through them when you go through something. Just say, I remember when the pastor said this, and look it up. But anyway, everybody has an outline. Everybody's got a pen. Okay, if not, there's a bunch back there. So let's talk about finishing well. How many want to finish well? I think every person in this place wants to finish well. I want to finish well. All of us want to finish well. And the thing, there's some things that we really need to look at. And people, we really need to just get down to brass tacks here. And we really need to say, you know what? There's things that I need to change in my life in order to finish well. Every one of us have things. There's none of us in here perfect. My wife is, but that's beside the point. That's just another thing here. But anyway, every one of us go through things in life. But you know what? So did Apostle Paul. But he finished well. And even there's some things I want to share that even Apostle Paul even was afraid at times in his life about serving the Lord and the things of serving the Lord. So let's start out with Numbers 14. That's going to be my key scripture today. It says, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit. Everybody say different spirit. You have a different spirit because you belong to God. Every one of us have a different spirit when we belong to God. There's something different about us. Anybody ever walk up and say, you're different? Yeah, I'm different, man. I know I am. And there's so many, but people will look at you strangely and say you're different in a good way, not a crazy way, okay? But here's what he says, a different spirit in him and has followed me fully. I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Now, this key scripture is the point off of what we're going to talk about. Caleb was a man who finished well, and it is a great thing to finish well. To finish well. Paul tells us the fear of finishing up his life as a wicked old man on one of the rubbish dumps or garbage heaps of being a castaway. Now, 1 Corinthians 9:27, Paul said this. He's talking about running the race, okay? He's talking about finishing well. And here's what he says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now, the word castaway is a word that means adokimos. It is taken from bad metals. When you look it up, it's about a person that when he's working with metals, he's a metal worker, and he's working with metals, and some metals are not working. They're not refining very good. They're not doing the job, so they throw it on a heap. That's what that word means, to be a castaway, okay? It is taken from bad metals and correctly denotes that those which will not bear the test that is applied to them. They will not bear the test that is applied to them. Are we bearing the tests that come our way? Or are we quitting and giving up on it? Think about that, okay? That are found to be without character and worthless, and therefore they're rejected and they're cast away. That's what that one word means. New King James says this, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. There isn't a person in here that wants to be disqualified from the race that we're in. Remember, I always said, it's not that those that start well, it's those that finish well. Starting is one thing, but finishing is another thing. And in the world we're living in, and the times we live in, people, It is the most critical times that we finish well. We finish well. The Passion says a true athlete will be disciplined in every respect. You watch the Olympics. My mercy. Those people put months and months and years in to go just to the Olympic to compete with other people. Months. They just didn't decide to get up one night and said, you know what, I think I'll just go to the Olympics. And I think it's a week away, so therefore I better get moving and get going on this so that I can compete against these people. No, no, no. They discipline themselves. They get up early in the morning. I guarantee you Phelps never got up late. He got up early and he swam and he swam and he swam all day long. And look where it brought him, all the medals it brought him. So Paul's talking about an athlete. A true athlete will be disciplined in every respect, practicing constant self-control in order to win a laurel wreath that quickly withers. But we run our race to win a victor's crown that will last forever. For that reason, I don't run just for exercise or box like one throwing aimless punches. But I train like a champion athlete. I subdue my body and get it under control so that after preaching the good news to others, I myself won't be disqualified. There are more people that are castaways and disqualified in the ministry than any other time. There are ministers falling from the grace of God, and they're leaving the ministries. And not just ministers, but Christian people that are walking away from the kingdom of God, and they're walking away from the gospel. They're walking away, and they're moving themselves towards the world and the flesh. And these are the things that the enemy wants so much to sift you and I, all of us. There's none of us in here that are exempt from this. The enemy wants to shut us out. He wants to shut you down. He wants to make everything look more appealing, but really it's a distraction. It's a distraction to our lives, and it's not appealing. And Paul was talking about this, that, man, I run this race. I do all these things, and all of a sudden I'm disqualified because of some dumb, stupid thing that I do disqualifies me. I mean, I would watch the Olympics when these guys were going to run the hurdles. One of the guys was one of the fastest. Remember this at the last Olympics, and he took off too early, jumped the start, and he was disqualified. He missed a medal because of that. He had trained. He had done everything right. He had disciplined himself, but he started too soon, and they disqualified him, and he lost a medal. He would have won the gold medal in that. And he was one of the fastest. And boy, I tell you, he was upset. He was crying. He was upset. He was angry. He was frustrated. The camera was on him, showing him, just frustrated about him. And this is what Paul's talking about. The World English Bible says, but I beat my body and bring it into submission. What the Greeks would do as soldiers, they would discipline. They would beat their bodies black and blue. They would beat themselves and discipline themselves and make themselves tough. That's what these soldiers would do to each other in order. And that's what that word means. It is to give blows and a black eye to our flesh and say, flesh, you're down. My spirit is up. My spirit is up. Paul ran with his eyes on the goal of ending well. He said, I beat my body. It's a metaphor of placing the desires of one's body as second place to the Holy Spirit. And that's what he's talking about. Paul made use of all possible means to control or discipline his evil and sinful tendencies to show that he was not under the dominion of the enemy or evil desires, but he was holy and under the dominion of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel. Paul's purpose was to obtain a complete victory over his corrupt passions and tendencies and get victory over those areas of his life. Many people have started well, but have not finished well. Solomon started well. King Saul started well. Lot started well. Demas started well. The Bible is strewn with all these people that have wreckage in their life who started well but ended as castaways or disqualified. Judas started well. As we get older, we may become weak in our bodies, people, but listen, the most important thing is to be strong spiritually, strong enough to say to God, give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. Give me this mountain, Lord. Give me this mountain comes from Joshua 14, and it centers on a man named Caleb. Now we're going to talk about Caleb. Caleb, the root word for Caleb means forcible. It means to attack. It means faithful. The Arabic means bold and brave. The Hebrew is faithful, loyal, or dog. You know what a dog does? When there is an attack, a dog will yelp. It'll start yelping and it'll go after what it's going after. It's not a dog in a bad sense, but in a good sense, because a dog will attack. And that's what the Caleb, and that fits that man's personality to the T. That fits his personality. So Caleb means forcible to attack. It means faithful. Faithful. And we're going to see some things about Caleb that he was faithful when everybody else was not faithful. Caleb was part of Israel when they left Egypt. He was there when God divided the waters of the Red Sea. Israel crossing the Red Sea is a picture of salvation, free from bondage and free from Pharaoh. These people were free. Observing Israel as they journeyed through the wilderness shows us there's much more to salvation, people, than just being set free. We gave our lives to Jesus, and God set us free, but there's more to it than just being saved. There's more to this life than just getting Jesus in as Lord and Savior. But there's the walk that we have to walk and the talk that we have to talk in order to have victory in every area of our lives. So there's more to that. God had a land flowing with milk and honey prepared for the Israelites. It would be a land of giants, a land of battles, but it was theirs if they wanted it. Now, as you know, Israel chose to wander in the wilderness for 40 years when it only took 2.5 weeks to get across to the promised land. And some of us can get locked into our wilderness where we go in the same old, same old, same old, and we never get victory, never get victory, never get free. And God wants to break that. God wants to break that. Here's another great picture of the Christian life. God saves us and promises that we can have a life of victory, intense spiritual joy, but rather than claim what is rightfully ours, what we do, things like peace or joy or fellowship or power and the glory of God, we choose to live in spiritual wilderness, defeated and depressed. Sometimes we don't want to be there, but sometimes we make wrong choices and decisions that puts us in a place where we feel like it's the same old, nothing is changing. And God wants to break that cycle. God wants to set it free. I came from an alcoholic background, as many as some of you have. And I told myself when I got married, I said to my wife, as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. And I said, I break that cycle that I came from. I break the cycle of alcohol addiction. I break all those cycles in Jesus' name. And I said, I will not go down that road. Did I struggle? Yeah, I struggled. I struggled even as a Christian. But eventually I broke through. God broke me through. And it is no desire whatsoever in my life. And so every one of us have areas that we feel like we get in this cycle, we get in the wilderness, and we need to break that bondage in our life so that we're free from those bondages. So we look at this. What was it that enabled an 85-year-old man to possess that which God had promised Caleb? He was 40 when they first started across the desert. And he's 85 years old right now. Caleb pictures the Christian who is willing to pay the price, fight the battles, and win the victory that God has waiting for each and every one of us. That's what Caleb represents. So let's look at the first one. Caleb followed the Lord. That was one of the ways that he got victory in his life. Joshua 14 says, "Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt." Remember when God sent him in to spy out the land? 10 came back with a bad report and 2 came with a good report. Joshua and Caleb, where those guys were like Siamese twins, man. They stuck together and it paid off. The 10 came back and they started complaining about all the giants and all this. Oh, yeah, the land is great. Oh, yeah, this sounds good. Oh, you know what? But. But I wholly follow the Lord. So what happened is the 10 spies made all the other people's hearts melt, where they just started complaining and they just gave up. Have you ever had that when you're doing really well and all of a sudden someone just throws a damp blanket on your life? Well, you know, Bill, you know, that ain't going to happen, man. And you're all pumped up about it. You prayed up about it, and somebody comes and they throw a wet blanket on it. Well, you know it. It's just not going to work. It's this, that, blah, blah, blah. And all this stuff starts happening. So Moses, verse 9, Moses swore on that day, saying, "Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever." He's telling Caleb this. "Because you wholly followed the Lord my God." Verse 14, "Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite." Okay. The real name is Jephunneh Kenizzite. That's really how you pronounce it in Hebrew. But we're going to stick to the English. Jephunneh and Kenizzite. "To this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel." Now, the word Hebron, it means fellowship or communion. Wow. Let me tell you about Hebron. It was a place where Abraham dwelt under the tree and ate with the Lord and the angels. Remember when they were coming to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? And it says that the angel of the Lord, anywhere you see angel of the Lord, it means Jesus, came with two angels. Because you can tell it was the Lord when he said, "Shall I tell Abraham or shall I keep it from him about destroying Sodom and Gomorrah?" But it says that they were in, that was in Hebron, between Mamre and Hebron under the oak tree. And that's where they fellowshipped with God and the angels, with Jesus and the angels, okay? That was where the well Abraham dug was also there in Hebron. This seems to have been Abraham's home. And this is where he is buried. Hebron was where Abraham dwelt. It's a good place to be. You know why? In the place of richness and the communion with God. So Hebron means communion and fellowship. Caleb says, "I want communion and fellowship. I want Hebron." Now listen, Hebron had giants in it. That's where all the giants lived. And he still wanted that land. For 40 years, he wanted that land. Now the first key to Caleb's success was that God had all of Caleb that there was. Because he wholly followed the Lord, it says. This is said about Caleb 6 times in the Old Testament. It is a phrase that means to close the gap. When he wholly followed the Lord, it means to close the gap. You know what that means, people? It refers to the fact that Caleb was so committed to keeping the distance between himself and the Lord at a minimum. There was nothing going to get in between him and God. Nothing. Not a thing would have got in between him and God. Every inch, every ounce, every nerve, every fiber of Caleb belonged to God. See, God deserves your all. If you're saved, you are all his anyway. Look at 1 Corinthians 6. Have you forgotten that your body is now the sacred temple of the Spirit of holiness who lives in you? You're bought with a price. It says you don't belong to yourself any longer, for the gift of God, the Holy Spirit, lives inside your sanctuary. And so God says, don't take your sanctuary and give it to prostitutes or give it to the prostitution of the world. But he says to keep it holy because God lives inside of us. The Holy Spirit lives in your sanctuary. So verse 20, you were God's expensive purchase paid for with the tears of blood. So by all means, then use your body to bring glory to God. Father, help us to bring glory to you. Yeah, we fail. We mess up miserably. Aren't you glad for the blood of Jesus that forgives us for our sins? Thank you, Father, that we get up and we just say, Lord, I belong to you. You belong to me. I'm committed to you, and you're committed to me. The man who kneels before God can stand before anybody or anything. The woman who kneels before God can stand before anybody or anything. Our commitment to Christ affects all of our relationships. Don't ever think that what we're doing or not doing doesn't affect somebody else. It does. It really does. The more devoted we are to Jesus, the more faithful we are to his church, his family, and friends, the more we're devoted to Jesus. I can always tell when people are not doing well, they don't come to church. They start skipping. And I know they're not doing well. They're fighting the battle. They're fighting the enemy. They're fighting the flesh. But the more devoted we are, the more we understand how much we need each other, how much we need to pray for each other, how much we need to cover each other. Amen? Not to condemn each other, but to bring blessing on each other, to bring blessing on each other. All Jesus wants from you is total commitment. Anything less will keep you from reaching your Canaan, your land of victory. Anything less. The devil's a liar. How many hate the devil? He's a liar. He is a liar. He's a liar. And you talk about bringing distractions in people's life. He's such a liar. Write this down. Number two, Caleb believed the Lord. Joshua 14, 12. Now therefore give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard that the day how the Anakim were there and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord has said. See, Caleb always remembered the promise. He said, hey, you know what? God is with me. I'll drive those giants right out, man. I'll clean house. They're not going to come against me. What was it that gave an 85-year-old Caleb the idea he could be a giant killer? Caleb's confidence was in God's word, what God promised him. He never forgot the promise of Moses. He never forgot the promise that God told Moses, the same promise to tell Caleb. Because Caleb wholly followed me, that's his. It belongs to his, nobody else. It belongs to Caleb. He can have anything he wants to pick. Isn't that awesome? That'd be like God coming in and say, Keith, you can pick anything you want to pick. Thank you, Lord. I know what I'm going to get. I know what I'm going to pick. And so that's what Caleb got, and he never forgot about that. He wasn't going to let it go. Deuteronomy, and the Lord heard the sound of your words and was angry and took an oath, saying, surely not one of these men of this evil generation shall see the good of the land of which I swore to give your fathers, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him and his children I'm giving the land on which he walked, because he wholly followed the Lord. All the other ones had to wander in the wilderness until their carcasses fell and a new generation went into the promised land. You know what it was? Because they complained. They didn't trust the Lord. They never believed what God said. Wow. In Canaan, the spies had seen the sons of Anak It was a race of giants that lived there. They had seen themselves as grasshoppers, not Caleb. When others saw giants, Caleb saw God. When others saw cities walled to the heaven, Caleb saw cities reduced to rubble. When others saw a dreadful enemy, Caleb saw a defeated enemy. When others saw only foes, Caleb saw the fruit. Caleb had seen the promised land, and while others complained, Caleb looked for a mountain where milk and honey flowed. He was able to see way beyond his circumstances into the promises of the Lord. That's what Caleb saw. Faith is more than just saying you believe. It's acting on what you believe. Look at Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It puts its trust in what it can't see, and it hangs on to that trust in God until it comes to pass. And that's what Caleb, he put his trust in the word he told Moses. And he went to Moses and reminded Moses what God said. Moses, hey, Moses, do you remember what God spoke? Yeah. I haven't forgot it. I want Hebron. I want a place of fellowship and communion with God. Now, there may be giants in the way. They might try to stop you from receiving what God has for you, but let's get rid of the giants. Let's get rid of the giants. 3, Caleb was strengthened by the Lord. Caleb had to scale 3 great obstacles in his quest for Canaan. A, he had to overcome a grasshopper mentality. He had to overcome a grasshopper mentality, okay? He had to overcome all the grasshoppers, the 10 spies that came back. Numbers 13:33, there we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. For Caleb to claim what God had promised, he had to go against the majority. Sometimes you just got to just stand up and you're going to be the only one that stands up for God. Sometimes you're going to go against the majority, but hold your ground. There will always be someone saying that it can't be done. It's never been done like this before. We can't afford it. We can't do this. We can't do that. Always somebody. There's always somebody that wants to rain on your parade. But bring an umbrella, the umbrella of the Holy Spirit. And we tend sometimes to see ourselves as small people or unimportant in comparison to the circumstances we face. God sees you and I totally different. You know what God sees? He sees giant killers. Me, a giant killer? Yeah, God sees a giant killer. The way he saw a shepherd boy, David, taking care of the sheep, he saw a giant killer. He knew that boy would kill a giant one day, and he did. You know why? Because David had a different outlook. His look was to God, not to self. Didn't matter what people said. His brother talked about him, said, "You pipsqueak, go home, leave us alone to fight the battle." The majority never won with him. It never happened. B, Caleb had to overcome giants. Numbers 14:8-9. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people from the land, for they are bread. This is Caleb talking. They are bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Caleb was speaking something way before it happened. You think I'm worried about giants? Are you kidding? His focus was so much on the land of flowing milk and honey, in the promises and the fruit, that he didn't even care about the giants. In his mind, it was like the bigger they are, the harder they're going to fall. That's Caleb's philosophy when he looked at that. Here's what we see, two options. We can say, look how small we are compared to those giants. And this is an outlook of fear in our lives, people. 2 Timothy says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. That's what God has given us. Or we can look how small the giants are compared to God. This is the outlook of faith. Well, I just see though God is bigger than the giants. God is bigger than the problem. God is bigger than the circumstances. Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or what? We think. That's what God can do for you and I. According to the power that's already in your life, God can work through that. C, he had to overcome gray hairs, his aging. Joshua 14:10. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses. While Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now here I am this day, 85 years old. Oh, my golly. What are we going to be at 85? I pray that every one of us are just as strong now than we've ever been. You know, that age is a mindset. My golly, I know 30, 40-year-olds that are ready for the nursing home. Really, there's this mindset. I had a friend that just back when he was in the 30s was talking about how old he's getting, how his body feels, and I said, just keep saying that, and it's going to happen. Every day we should get up and say, Lord, I'm glad to live to be 100. That's when you start getting old, is when you hit the 100 mark. According to the Old Testament, wow. As yet I am strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both going out and coming in. He said, it ain't changed one bit. I'm still going to beat those giants to pieces. I'm just as strong as I was the day that I, you know what kept Caleb going? The promises of God. Caleb, it's yours. Wow. If nothing kept us more than knowing that God is a good God, he loves us, he cares about us, he's for us, he's not against us, that should be enough to keep us alive for a long time. Wow. What does this tell us? When God makes a promise, people, he will give us the strength to see it fulfilled, no matter what. True faith looks beyond the present circumstances and sees the provision of God Almighty, the promise fulfilled. It doesn't see giants. It sees the promise. It doesn't see circumstances that you may be facing. It sees way beyond that and sees God, the promises that he said that are ours. That's why he said, let your focus be on heavenly things, not here in the earth. Because our attitude needs to be about heaven and not about what we see or what we don't see. Number four, Caleb, fellowship with the Lord. I'm closing in a minute here. Joshua 14. And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Do you know what? God never forgot. Can I say this? God has never forgot your prayers. He still is going to answer your prayer. Don't quit. Don't give up. hold that promise that is so dear of God's word and say, Lord, I stand on this promise. I may not have it now, but I do have it by faith in the Spirit. And it will manifest itself. I believe it. I believe it. And we stand on that, people, no matter what. Caleb experienced what God had promised. He climbed the mountains and defeated the giants. He claimed his possession. He went in there. It didn't matter. He killed as many giants as he could. There must have been a few left over because David ran into a few. The name of the place Caleb inherited was Hebron. Remember, this means fellowship and communion. Caleb refused to quit until he had obtained everything the Lord had for him. Everything. He refused to stop until he obtained that place of fellowship with God. You know, people, sometimes you've got to push. You've got to go forward. You've got to defeat the enemy. You've got to bind up the enemy. You've got to do a little warfare in order to receive what God has promised. Do you think the enemy's just going to lay down and let you have what you're praying for? Uh-uh. You got to go after it. You got to be like the bulldog like Caleb was. That's what his name meant. Forceful and attack the enemy and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. This belongs to me. Get your hands off of it. My family belongs to me. My wife belongs to me. My children belong to me. This belongs to me. And I'm not letting it go until God blesses me. Until God blesses me. It isn't God's will for you to wander around in the wilderness of defeat forever. It is His will that you walk in victory and in His power every day, people. Every day. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph. In Christ. There are always going to be trials. There's always going to be tests. There's always going to be circumstances. There's always going to be things that the enemy, the giants in your life, throw at you. Always. You got giants of everything you can think of coming against you, of needing healing, all these different things coming your way. All these giants of circumstances. And yet, you have to be the one that comes against them. But there is victory in the midst of each trial. Victory. Victory belongs to us. Let me ask you a question this morning. Where are you in your personal walk with the Lord this morning? Think about that. Where am I, Pastor Audie, even me, in my personal walk with the Lord? Let me ask you this. Have you entered into your Canaan, or are you wandering around in the wilderness still struggling day to day? See, God has a place of peace and power for you, but you've got to be willing to claim your possession, every one of us. It isn't for the faint-hearted, but it is for the faith-hearted, this walk of faith. See, there is a vast difference between a promise and a possession. God promised Israel the land. He gave them the land. But they had to possess it. They had to go after it. They had to get it. Just like the Word of God. We have all these promises, but if we don't stand on them and go after them and receive them by faith and allow God to work those, they will never come to pass. God promised Israel the land, but they had to possess it before it became theirs. God has the victory for His children. That is promised. However, that promise must be actively, every way pursued and possessed before it will ever become reality. All these different things that we face, all these different things that come against us, we have the victory, people. We've got to we have the victory. There's giants in our lives. They're giants of discouragement, finances, sickness, family, distress, doubt. And the truth is, we can't defeat them by ourselves. It takes the power of God to do what we need to do to kill those giants. Amen? To defeat those giants. Every one of us are going to face giants. It's what we do. We can be like King David, a little shepherd boy. See, God never saw a shepherd boy. He saw a king. He saw a king. God doesn't see you the way you see yourselves. He sees kings and priests and prophets of God. That's what he sees. That's what God sees in our life. He sees something totally different in us than what we see. See, the enemy wants you to get your focus on how bad you are, how you messed up, how you didn't do it right, how you look to yourself, to others, and he wants to bring all these distractions in our life so we take our focus off of the real attraction, God. That's why the enemy's a liar. That's why he's defeated. The Bible says that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. If he came to destroy them and they're destroyed, he's just nothing but a lion without any teeth. It says that he goes and seeks someone to devour as a roaring lion. But all his teeth have been kicked out at Calvary. His bark is bigger than his bite. Because God defeated him. He is only as big as we make him. The giants are as only big as those 10 spies said they were. We look like grasshoppers compared to those giants. But if we compare ourselves to the giants, we'll never defeat them. But if we compare ourselves to who we are in God, we will kill every one of those giants that come our way. Amen? That's who you are. And that's who we are in God. Don't ever let anybody tell you anything less. Now, I know there's things that we need to do, choices we need to make, and things we have to do to receive those promises. But that is what we do because Jesus paid the price for us. Our lives are not our own. They belong to him. And if they belong to him, we need to serve him wholly and say, Lord, with every fiber, every part of my being, I will give you all of my life. And I told the Lord years ago when I gave my life to him, I said, Lord, if you can take this broken down person, messed up, and you can do something with my life, I will serve you all the days of my life. Who'd ever thought he'd call me in the ministry? I had different ideas, but God had a different idea. Have I failed him? Yeah, I've failed him many times. But I picked myself up and dusted myself off and said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. We're going to serve God. There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. None. Don't let the devil beat you up. But begin to realize who your focus is. It's God. It's God. It's God. Keith, got a song for us? Let's close with a song, people. As Keith is playing, this altar is going to be a place of refuge. I want you to have the freedom to come up between you and God. If you never made Jesus Lord of your life, what an opportunity to say, Jesus, come into my life. I need you because I've messed it up so bad that it's going to take you to take and fix it. And you know what? God's going to do that for you. But if you want to come up and just get between you and God and just worship the Lord, come on up. If you want to sit there and worship the Lord, that's okay too. Let's worship.
be where you are. I want to know, Lord, who you are. So when you call out my name, I say to you, here I am. I'm listening, Lord, speak to me. I want to see how you see. Change my heart, Lord, make me holy. If there's anything in my life doesn't honor you now, I'm listening. Speak to me, speak to me.
I don't know about you, but I want to finish well. Amen. All of us want to finish well, but we know what we got to do to finish well. Just like Caleb, he finished well. And he ended up in fellowship and communion with the Lord. I like that. Father, thank you this morning so much for being our God. Thank you so much for paving the way for us to be all that we can be for you through Jesus. Lord, thank you for your forgiveness when we've failed you, when we messed up. thank you for the blood that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Father, may we never take that grace for granted, but may we take that grace and use it to be more like Jesus. So, Father, this morning, we as your people come before you and we lay these things down at your feet. We lay these frustrations, these problems, these things we struggle with, these giants in our lives, Lord, we lay them down and we already know they're defeated in Jesus' name. Brothers, we leave this place, may we every day get up in the morning and say, as for me and my house, we will serve God. As for me and myself, I belong wholly to you, Lord. I'm closing the gap. I'm closing the gap on the enemy, Lord, and I'm bringing it closer and closer together. So, Father, we thank you for everything you've done for us, for sending Jesus, for not bringing condemnation in our lives, but giving us the victory through faith, giving us the victory through your promises, that every promise will be fulfilled in our lives as we declare and decree those things before you. Father, thank you for this church. Thank you for these beautiful people you've given me. Thank you for the gift, Lord. We just love you. And we just thank you for being with us even through the toughest times of our life. You're there. Thank you, Father. And for this, we give you all the praise. We give you all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord praise. Come on.
Hallelujah. Amen.